is the one who calls light out of darkness. I don't know what kind of darkness is around you, but he's calling forth light, your light. He says, I will turn your night into noonday.
Yes.
Noonday, noonday, noonday. Oh, riba raba riba raba riba raba riba mama shika raba riba. Shondorobo riba. We bless your name, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, Lord. The God who has seasons and times in your hand. The God who does miracles. The God who turns, who calls light out of darkness. Father, bless your people during this season. Thank you for changing the season of your people. And thank you for calling us your own. And that's why you have sent us into the world. And that's why you groom us in your church. You teach us. You crown us. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive your word and bless us through your word and take us to our next level. We thank you, Lord. Bless this city. Bless our nation. Bless our nation. Bless the leadership of the parliament. Bless the leadership in government. Father, help them to deliver to the people and help them to deliver to the world. To the world. Yes. To this continent and to the world. We thank you, Lord. We don't live for ourselves, Lord. We live to be a blessing to other people, even to the nations. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. God bless you, choir, for taking us through this time. You can take your seats. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is good you are here. I'm sure the Lord has already begun to bless you. Praise God. It is wonderful to be in the house of God. He's a good God. He's a kind God. He's a wonderful God. Sister Agnes, welcome back from bearing your baby. Continue praying for her, strengthening her. Just may God grant you that comfort that only Him can give. Sometimes it is God who can fill the gaps in our hearts. Praise God. And those who have not been there, you are most welcome. Praise God. We have been looking at a message entitled Connecting People to Jesus. We are looking at the third part of this message, connecting people to Jesus. It's good to write it down. It is good. The church is a place of preparation, connecting people to Jesus. Brother Charles, you are welcome back after safari. I know God is in charge of everything that you are going through in your life, and it is important for you, even as you do business, to learn how to connect people, to know and to learn how to connect people to Jesus. All of us, we have been called to do that. Praise God. And today we are looking at how we do that by testifying about Him. By testifying about Him. Today we are looking at connecting people to Jesus by testifying about Him. By testifying about Him. We have seen previously that also one of the ways of connecting people to Jesus is through the good news. Through the good news. Through the good news. So we saw that we connect people to Jesus through the good news. That good news is what they call in Greek the gospel. It means the same thing. And that good news is that God loves humanity. You know, people need to know that God loves them. God loves humanity and has reconciled the world to Himself through Jesus Christ. Has reconciled. To reconcile is, He has made a way to make people who were no longer His friends back to become His friends again. And He does that through His Son, Jesus. He makes a way. He made a way. He has made a way. People need to know. Some people fear to be close to God. Sometimes when I'm witnessing, the people say, no, let me first sort myself out. Let me first sort myself. I'm doing a lot of wrong things. Can we imagine? They don't know that they can never sort themselves out of sin. But when they reconcile with God and through Christ, the Christ will sort them out. Sin is so powerful. How do you sort yourself out of sin? Sin is not a joke. Some people think sin is a joke. You try to walk away from it and see whether you can walk away from it without the help of Christ. In fact, that's why in Romans, John 1:12, it says that yet to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them the power to become sons. To become sons. For you to become like God, a child of God, because a child looks like the parent. When you become a child of God, you begin to look like God. For you to begin to look like God, you need power. You need power. You need power to walk away from sin. You need power to walk away from that bottle. You try to live, if you're an addict, an alcoholic addict, especially when you're taking warege, whiskey, try to walk away from it and see whether you can succeed. You see? It's not easy. It requires power. Once you allow Jesus in, the power comes. Then you can begin to say no, and it remains a no. Otherwise, will you say no, and the following day you are back to it? That one shows you the power. You know? That's why some people, after they have got their salary, they go and completely devastate it in the bar. The children are at home. The school fees are not paid. They don't even have enough food. They don't have clothes. The situation at home is, the home is in a sorry state. So when they, in the morning when they wake up, they feel so sorry for their family. I will not do this. I'm so sorry. I will not do this again. I will not do this. But let me tell you, when it is coming to around 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 6 p.m., say, let me take a little walk. Let me take a little walk. They end up back in the same bar. They repeat the same thing. Why? The power of sin. You just need to receive Jesus, who gives you the power to change. Praise God. So the good news is that he has made a way to make people his friends again and to make people God's children. That's the good news. That good news still announces that Jesus, the promised Savior, lived. He came 2,000 years ago. He lived. He died for sins. Some people died for other things. But he died for our sins. He died your death. You see? He died for sins and he resurrected. He broke the power. Breaking the power of death. And then he offers forgiveness. Can you imagine? Let me tell you, you will never relate with God without being forgiven first. He offers forgiveness. When you accept that forgiveness, when you accept that offer of life, you are forgiven. You see? Salvation is what God gives us through his son. Religion is what we try to do for God. You try to do for God. But what can you do for God? But salvation, rescue, is what God does through his son. He rescues you from sin and the consequences of sin. Praise God. Offering forgiveness. Establishing the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom. And the door is Christ. That is what the good news says. People need to know there is another kingdom. That supersedes all other kingdoms. Everything is under it. Including governments of the nations. That kingdom of God controls it. The rule of God. The kingdom of God is his rule. And then he grants eternal life to those who believe in him. Eternal life, God's own life. He puts his Holy Spirit in you. And then that the Holy Spirit begins to change you from inside up to outside. And then the way you deal with people begin to impact them. You begin to impact your world. That's what the good news is about. We saw that. We also saw a number of practical ways of connecting people to Jesus. We saw, number one, you share your story, how Jesus got you out of a hard place. You share your story. that story will connect people to Jesus. They will begin to seek him. They will begin to desire him. Because you may find that your story is really connected to, is like what someone is going through. Because we face challenges in life which are very similar. You see? Number two, we show love by helping others and being kind to them. We show love. When we serve by showing love, you know, I'm telling you, people will begin to wonder, why is this person like this? And that's how you connect them to Jesus. They know that love is just not from yourself. It is from somewhere. And that's how they will turn to Jesus. The third one, we say, you pray for others. Prayer opens doors. Prayer removes burdens, even from non-believers. When they realize that their prayers made something leave them, they will begin to look for that Savior. And the fourth one, we saw that learn to listen carefully to people, to what people care about and what they struggle with. People, first listen to them. What are they concerned about? Don't begin to rush them with the gospel, with Jesus. First listen to their problem, you see, and what they struggle with. When we are able to listen, then they will ask you, how can I come out of this? That is when you bring Jesus in. Praise God. We saw that. So this time, we are going to see how we can connect people to Jesus through testifying about him. Now, to testify about Jesus means to remove the focus, the story from us. When you tell your story, it's about you and what he has done. But when you testify about him, it is him and his life and the meaning of his death and resurrection and eternal life and whatever he has spoken is about him. So when we talk about him, we connect people to him. Praise God. The focus is shifted from us to him. And in fact, Jesus said, when you look at John 15:27, write it down. John 15:27. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And you also must testify. You just look at what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you people, testify about me. Testify about me. How many of you testified about Jesus recently? At least you talked about Jesus. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Very few. Choir, very few. Can I see you? Praise God. Immaculate was not here when we were talking about when you tell people about your story, how Jesus removed you from a hard place. You tell them about it, you easily connect them to Jesus. So Immaculate, come, bring the mic, tell us one of your stories that you cannot forget, how Jesus helped you. Come. Clap for her. She has been away. She looks new now. Come. Clap for her. Tell us one story. You have many, just one. Come and stand here. Praise God. Yes, tell us, you, for those who don't know you, tell them your name and then tell us your story, one only. How Christ, what the Lord Jesus did for you when you were in a hard place, how he removed you from a hard place. Yeah, we want to know.
Praise God, church. Okay, I'm Immaculate. There are so many situations.
One powerful one. Just one.
Let me just testify.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Recently, I was not around. I think it was a Saturday evening. I was preparing to come for choir practice. And then I received a phone call from the village. My uncle's wife had called me, and then she asked me if my uncle had called me. I told her no. Then she went off. Then she called again. I told her, ah, he has not yet called me. So me, I came for choir practice. So when I reached here, shortly my uncle called me. And then he told me, I want you to come and help me. Samuel is sick. Samuel is his son. So at first I didn't know what that thing was exactly. So I called my auntie who was in the village, who has been in the hospital with them. And then I told her, me, I don't want to go to the hospital. They are saying I escort them to Mulago. Then she told me, no, you go with them. The kid is not well. So I asked her, what is the problem? Then she told me, we went to the hospital and the doctor told us the kid has an enlarged heart. The liver is also enlarged. So I was bothered. I felt bad because I love him so much. He's my only brother. So when that news reached me, it really touched me. Because a kid of 10 months, how could you have all those conditions? So they traveled that night. So I didn't come for prayers that morning. I went direct to where they were. So when we reached the hospital, because they had made an appointment with someone, they were supposed to meet a certain doctor in Mulago. But unfortunately, they called and the person didn't pick. So we had to look for another doctor. So the neighbor suggested and said, I know a doctor in Mulago, he's also a pediatrician. So the doctor told us is on Sunday he doesn't work at Mulago. We have to go to his clinic in Gayaz. So we had to travel to Gayanza. But I thank God that before we entered the doctor's room, I called my mom. Actually, I sent her a message. I told her, mom, Samuel is not okay. Because I looked at the kid and he could not even breathe. But I kept on talking to my aunt and she said, there is no way that kid can have a heart problem. Because if he had a heart issue, he would not grow. He would not put on that weight. So I texted my mom. I told her, mom, you know what? The kid is sick. So my mom immediately, okay, after some time, she told me, I'm going to enter Papa's office. I'm going to put a sacrifice. So before we entered the office, I told her, mommy, we are going to enter. So when we entered, we saw the doctor. He looked at the scan results, the x-ray. And he saw the x-ray, he told us, no, this boy clinically doesn't have a heart issue. What is disturbing this kid is pneumonia. So I really thank God. I don't know whether what they diagnosed the other side was true, but I thank God that after my mom putting that sacrifice, the report of the doctors changed.
Amen.
So they treated him, but of course, when you go to the hospital and they tell you the kid has this, even if another person tells you it is, they say you still have that doubt. So afterwards, we had to go to Mulago. When we reached Mulago, the line was too long. We didn't know anybody. And the other people were telling, actually, the people who told us the day before we went, they were like, you have to go very early. And there you have to start giving money from the gate. I told my aunt, we are not going to give anybody money from the gate. We are going to sit and we also move in the line. And indeed, that is what we did. I really thank God that when we reached Mulago, they told us to do two tests. That was ECG and echo. And the report came out. It was very clean. It was just pneumonia.
Amen.
And the worst part of it is that when they did the x-ray from the other side and they said they had an enlarged heart, they started him on medication of the heart. But I really thank God that he's a God who never disappoints. Me and my mom, when we received the news, we refused immediately. We said, no, Samuel cannot have that disease. He cannot start taking medication at that age. So I really thank God that he came through. It was
Amen.
A very tough situation,
Amen.
But I thank God.
Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand. What did that do to you as a believer?
To me, it really ministered to me that Our God is still faithful.
Amen.
He's a God who keeps his promises. Because when my mom, when I told her that, mommy, the kid is sick. For us, at first, we thought it was a joke because they first treated him. I hear bacterial infection. It didn't get fine. Actually, that day when he finishes the treatment, that is the day it worsens. So they started treating malaria, which they didn't diagnose in the first place. So when we even reached to these other hospitals, they told us, no, we are not going to do a malaria test because he has been on medication for malaria, so there is no need. Amen. But to me, it ministered to me that God is really faithful.
Amen.
Even in every situation, you have to hand it over to him.
Amen.
Because for us, when we got the news, we said, God will do it.
Amen.
It will not be in our family, and it will never be.
Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. In fact, Elder Magdalene told him, he came. He said, I've said, Immaculate has gone. The baby is very sick. And she told me, said, but I don't want to believe that the situation will remain like that, that baby will remain like that, that condition is like that, God will change that story. And she came actually with a sacrifice. A sacrifice is a special offering you give God for spiritual warfare. And she has done it several times with serious results. She has done it for examination when she was doing a postgraduate, when things become so bad, what she was expecting out for tuition was canceled. When she raised the sacrifice, I said, that is Psalms, for those who don't know, that you find that in Psalms 20, verse 1 to 4, that may God hear you when there's trouble. May he send you help from his house. May he remember your sacrifices and your offerings, and then grant you according to the desire of your heart. She stood on that. And I want to tell you later on that tuition for a degree course was reinstated. Can you imagine? Look at the power of prayer and sacrifice. There are certain things you just pray. There are other things you had a sacrifice of fasting. The other thing, that fasting will not work. You had another sacrifice. You keep pulling out different guns, you know, and then you put a special offering like that, you know, until God answers you. Praise God. Because there are different levels of warfare. So when they told me about this baby, she came. She had already sent Marjolaine. She said, no. The story of this baby, let me tell you people, I've been to hospitals. So many people die because of misdiagnosis. They don't die. I'm telling you, and I just pray for Ministry of Health. They just need to supervise health facilities in Uganda. I even doubt whether these fellows are qualified, some of them. I'm telling you the truth. There was a time, Reverend Rose went to one of the big hospitals in Kampala here. She knows the story. In fact, give her a mic. Give her a mic. They told her that our heart has shifted. Is it to the left-hand side? To the okay, to the right? Because the heart is in the left. That has shifted to the right. Can you imagine? A big hospital. So really, and it makes me sometimes doubt some of these young people. You meet them as medics and paramedics. Some of them cannot even find a vein for a little baby. They prick the baby 10 times. That's when they get the vein.
Praise the Lord.
It's terrible. But that one shows you the power of God. When Magdalene came, God answered. Christ answered. We prayed. We said, Lord, you will change this story. And indeed, the Lord changed that story. Now, when they share such a thing with someone whose child is in a hopeless situation, and they will believe in the Lord and he will step in. That's the good thing with our stories. Yes.
Praise Jesus.
Yeah, just tell us the situation, not the name of the hospital.
What Papa is saying was 2024. That was 2024. I went to one of the facilities here in Kampala. Just, I was not even very sick. So when I went there, I met the doctor, and she told me, can you go and do some x-ray? So I went and did an x-ray. I brought the result. I said, oh my, your heart is swollen, and it has crossed to the right. It is any time you are dying. What is all this? What are you feeling? So I asked her, I said, doctor, is it possible for the heart to shift from the left to the right? Number two, doctor, if my heart is swollen, why is it that I'm breathing normally? I have no problem with the breathing. I'm just okay. Then three, doctor, why is it that I'm able to walk and I don't get tired? I hear people with that problem, they cannot walk a long distance. They get tired and start sweating. But I'm normal. I'm completely normal, doctor. What kind of heart problem is this? That I'm normal, but you are saying I'm dying. That no, I've already booked for you.
A specialist. Heart specialist.
Heart specialist. Do you have 100,000 you pay for consultation so that they go and see your heart right now? I got up and said, doctor, thank you. Instead of paying 100,000 a year, let me go. I find another help elsewhere.
Mulago.
But one thing I know, doctor, this facility cannot check my heart. Let me go to Mulago and look for my own ways and see whether the heart has crossed to the right, as you have said. I said, hey, you mean to say you are going? I said, doctor, I'm not just going. And I walked out of the doctor's room. So I went to Mulago at Institute. Very early at 6, I was there. I queued on the line. I reached the doctor. He said, why are you here? I said, I went to some facility, you know. The doctor there told me my heart is swollen and crossed to the right. That's why I'm here. The doctor said, very stupid doctors. What is all this? Can their heart ever cross to the right? What is this? He checked me and said, madam, go back home and go and live well. And I left the Mulago. I came back without even testing me. Thank you very much.
You see, it's terrible. You know, she always get, even during delivery, I would take her to Zambia Hospital. But one time, a certain friend of her decided to take her to a private hospital. It's a good facility when you look at it from outside. So I came, I phoned, she was seated on bed, and a doctor came. Imagine she was going to produce Prince. This handsome boy, Prince. Praise God. And you know, the doctor said, now, I've booked you. I have to do C-section. Now, even if you lose that boy, it doesn't matter. You'll get another one. I want to save your life. Even if you lose that one. Can you imagine she got up? If you can, let's sacrifice the boy, let it die, you live. Because her pressure was somehow high. Do you know what she did? I saw her get up. She was on a drip. The needle was in the hand. She just did like this. She got up and began to walk out of the hospital. I went, said, pay the bill. I went and I paid the bill. We collect everything. We go. The doctor was saying, what is happening? We had gone. We went back to Zambia. That's where Prince was delivered. Can you imagine? They were shocked. And in the night, God had already shown us a dream. God has revealed to her by a dream the danger that was coming in that place. Praise God. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. So when we tell our stories, we connect people to Jesus. How Jesus helped us out of hardship, out of tough situation. That's why I want to tell you people, women who are going to deliver, don't just go. in a naive way, you just go to the hospital, pray, and if possible, make a special offering to God. Like people, other people don't like hearing about money. They love money so much more than God and more than their lives. But let me tell you, an offering on the altar of God provokes God. Read your Bible. Provokes God and it brings change, unexpected change. Praise God. It's just a token. A token. It makes you connect to the offering that Christ has already done for us. Because some of these things are reactions from evil altars. How do you handle an evil altar? With God's altar and with a sacrifice. Praise God. So this is what Jesus said. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Some of you have walked with Jesus for a long time. He came and stayed inside you as your Lord and Savior. He came inside you. Praise God. And stayed. So you know him. The Holy Spirit is inside you. If you care to develop your relationship with you, talk to him, you listen to him, your life will not remain the same. You will always testify because you know him. Praise God. The other time, Dr. Kenneth was telling me that he decided not to work in some medical facilities because of the level of mismanagement and corruption that he has seen there. Dr. Kenneth, just stand up and lift up your hand. Let people see you. Yeah, that is Dr. Kenneth. Praise God. He told me, he said he decided not to work in some hospitals. Praise God. In fact, he said one time he worked in a hospital. And, because he wants to save life. He works not for pay, really. He needs money. But he was very serious with his work. But one thing that in one of the big hospitals somewhere in Uganda, some years back. So what happened is, each time the medicine comes from medical store, the big medical store, yeah. National Medical Stores, to that hospital. As it is offloading, there's another small pick truck also that appears each time. And some the best medicine are loaded into that, and off it goes. So one day he was asking the watchman, why is that Nini appearing here? He said, it's actually the watchman who volunteered. He said, you see, each time they bring medicine, another small vehicle appears. They take away all the most important medicine. So government really supplies. So when you hear Balaam doing what he's doing, don't cry for people who are messing. Praise God. Just pray for them that they will learn. Pastor Harriet was telling us the same story, where they were going to be messed up and they would have ended being arrested when some people went and tampered with their work because they wanted to hide something that they have stolen, money that they have siphoned away. Praise God. And yet they had done their job, praise God, in some other place in the country here. So church, testifying about Jesus requires the Holy Spirit. It requires the participation of the Holy Spirit. That is why he said, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So you see our story, we may tell it as we experience it. But when it comes to talking about Jesus, you need to be helped by the Holy Spirit. And it is believers who can do that very well. So don't waste your relationship with the Lord. Don't waste the presence of the Holy Spirit inside you. He can help you testify. Lord, what should I say? Even when you are going to testify, Lord, if you were the one, what would you say? Give me what to say. Give me what you would have said if it was you. And you get the right thing to tell people about him. Praise God. And that's why you need to read the gospel so that you know the life of Jesus. You know, because he says, I'm the light. and the light. You see? So that you can know about him. So he says the counselor will testify. And you also must. He does not say you may testify. No, you must. You must. Next Sunday you must come with somebody you have testified about. Someone whose story, your story you have shared to. Vicky, share your story with somebody. And we want to see some of your friends you are leaving behind. You cannot tell us that you have not left people behind as you are passing. You have left very many, even your neighbors, who don't go to church, who don't know Christ, who don't know that there's a way out. People fear. Just like I've told you, let me first sort myself out. Others tell me, you know, I still have two wives. Others say, I still have three. Let me see how I can sort myself out when I remain with one. It's not about wives. It's about salvation of your soul. It's about being a friend of God again. Let me tell you this story. Some years back, we had just started church here. There's a man who had two wives. He was in a nearby church. Then he shifted to our church here. He had two wives. Now, that man came to me and said, Pastor, now, I feel I should remain with one wife. What do I have this younger one, then I have this first one. What do I do now? I said, do nothing. What you can do is, let's pray. Let's pray for God to do things in a smooth way. Don't force anything. You bring those ladies and let's pray together. And of course, the other lady who was left behind in another church also had to join here. You know, being a that kind of means of having a co-wife is a tough one. You know, the other lady also came and followed them here. So we prayed. We prayed. Now, the first one, I think, was full, either traditionally married. The second one, also, I think, that given something, some dowry. He married actually all of them. He had married all of them traditionally. Can you imagine? So after that prayer, do you know what happened? This other one was coming from, the man came from West Nile. This other one was, the younger wife was coming from Lira. You know, the father of the lady sent a message to this man who had now joined our church. He said, I want my daughter back. I want my daughter back. I don't want her to stay in that marriage. I want my daughter back. Yet the daughter had not wanted to go. So she wrote a letter, and the man brought me the letter. So the lady accepted to go back to the father. So this man remained with the first woman. You see the power of prayer? they wanted to sort, the man wanted to sort things out. You cause a lot of trouble. And you know what happened? That woman went and got a job as, can you imagine, she had gone to even to school, but she was seated here in the Uniport, jobless. They recruited her. She became a district agricultural officer. At that time, they used to give them motorcycle, not vehicle. She had a new motorcycle. She came to testify here to tell me what God has done for her. She became an officer. I said, no, I prayed for her. I said, let God get for you a good husband. Praise God. So you don't try to sort, you can never sort yourself out. You need God to sort, you need Jesus first in your life, in your boat. You remember when they were in that boat and the wind was tossing them up and down. It was until he came and stepped in the boat, then the wind died. You need Jesus in your life. Praise God. So it requires the Holy Spirit. To testify about Christ requires the Holy Spirit. Let's look at John 12:32. John 12:32. But I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. You see, this passage testifies about the death of Jesus. What it would do. Because when you are testifying about Jesus, you will talk about his death, you will talk about his life, you will talk about his resurrection. will talk about what he has said. So the kind of death that Jesus died on the cross was a powerful act of love. Powerful act of love that pulls all types of people to God. That is it. He says, when I am lifted up, I will pull all men to me. You just look at that. Why? It was a sacrificial death. His death was a sacrificial death. He died for others. He died for you and me. Praise God. Look at Acts 7, 8. Acts chapter 7, verse number 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, the Holy Spirit is needed for witnessing Christ. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. And you will become my witnesses. In other words, you will testify about me. You will testify. Beginning from Jerusalem to the end of the earth. You know, this place of ours, our country is very far from Jerusalem. So those fellows did not even reach the end of the earth. But the people who believed after them made the gospel move until it reached us. We have to testify about Jesus until it reaches people who are deep in the villages and people of other religions whose eyes are closed about what God has done for them through Jesus. Praise God. It requires wisdom and revelation that the Holy Spirit is the only one who can give you if you are to testify effectively about Jesus. Testify about him. Tell people what his death has done for them. What he offers them. What he offers them. That's why Peter, when he was answering the elders of Israel, he says, there's no name under heaven given by which men must be saved. This Jesus whom you despise, God has made a capstone, a cornerstone. We are told because the elders actually wanted to kill them. Because they said, don't talk about the name of this man. Don't testify about him. They were planning to kill them. But it failed. They told the elders that, judge for yourself whether we should obey you when you ordered us not to talk about the name of this man, of Jesus, or we should obey God. You see, Peter told them clearly. Peter told them, and the Bible says, it is Acts 1:8. What have I said? Sorry, 7. It is 1:8. You know, it's a typing error. Acts, correct it, please. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. You see, with the Holy Spirit, you need him. Say, Holy Spirit, help me testify about Jesus. Amen. You see, it requires the wisdom. You know, these fellows look at them. They looked at these ordinary men. They saw they were ordinary men. They never went to any big schools. But they noted one thing. That these men were with Jesus. That's what they noticed. These men had the Holy Ghost. They were filled. The Bible even said Peter was filled. Praise God. Now, Apostle Paul also told the church in Ephesus. You look, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you may know him better. You see, when you know God better, when you know Jesus better, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to testify about him. You cannot testify about somebody you don't know. That's why each time you must pray, God, help me know you better. Jesus, help me know you better. Then you can testify about him well and accurately. And will touch lives. Praise God. Take note of Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We are almost done. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. All were filled with the Holy Spirit. All. Let's look at verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. These were people who were hiding in the upper room there. They were timid. They were not talking anything. They were waiting upon God. Then, boom, the Holy Spirit came. And they came out of that room. That day, Jerusalem was wondering what had happened. They came out. Peter was their leader. And in Acts 2, verse 14, and then verse 22, this is what happened. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who lived in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. You just look at that. The man came out. He began to testify about Jesus. Verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He began to testify about Jesus. He said, this man was accredited. He was accredited. He had the credential from God. You know, sometimes you meet this diplomatic vehicle written CD. CD simply means credential diplomat. Credential. He came with authority of his head of state. He has been given the credential to represent the state. You see, now here I was telling them that that Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God, sent officially by God. Praise God. He was testifying. He was testifying. Learn to testify about Jesus. Learn to talk about the life of Jesus, his death, his resurrection. We shall look into detail those parts there. The life of Jesus, we need to look at his death. We need to look at his resurrection. We need to, so that you can testify when you know the meaning of his death. Yeah, it was a sacrifice. A lot of things happened on the cross which people don't know about. It is you to testify about that. And I want to tell you, it will help people, it will draw and connect people to Jesus. Lift up your hands and talk to the Lord to help you. To help you. Testify about Jesus. To help you testify about Jesus. To help you testify about Jesus. God has put people all around you. Ask the Lord to help you testify, even in your office. Don't fear to tell people about Jesus. Make sure you have a testimony. Some people, because their testimony is bad, they fear to testify about Jesus, because now people will know, say, but if you know Jesus, why are you behaving like this? You see? So ask God to give you the grace to have a good testimony. Ask him to help you to testify about Jesus. Father, I want to thank you. Help us as a church to testify about Jesus. To testify about him. To testify about him. Father, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Blessed Holy Spirit, help us to testify about Jesus. All of us in this church and all all the, your people in the church, in this nation and all over the world, help them to testify about Jesus so that people can connect to him, the Savior, their Savior, the Savior of the world. We thank you, Lord. We know you have heard our prayers. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Dear friend, perhaps you have no saving relationship with God. And you love God. And you want to engage with him. But you don't know how. I want to show you how. In John chapter 10, verse number 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. Whoever enters through me shall be saved." It's the door into the kingdom of God. Right now, you can enter a relationship with the Almighty God. You can do that through a simple prayer of commitment that you can make to God right now through him. And if you are ready to enter a relationship with God so that you can be a child of God, bona fide child, not just a creation, not just a creature of God, created by God, but a son, a daughter, follow this simple prayer of commitment after me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. Forgive all my sins. I repent of my sins. Right now, I invite you, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. Amen." If you say that prayer from your heart, you are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Find a Bible teaching church near you where you can go and fellowship in order to grow spiritually. If you live in the city of Kampala, you are most welcome to come and worship with us at Victory Church of Christ Ministries International in Luzira, Kampala. And the word we share in these services will never allow your life to remain the same. And let us know about the commitment you have made through our contacts on the screen. We'll send you some material through the mail, through your email, so that you can be edified and you can know how to walk in your new phone life with God. God bless you abundantly. I wait to hear from you.